friends, thank you again for tuning in to our episode for the podcast for the Hope Canteen. Great to have you with us today. My name is Steve London here at St. Thomas, and again, I'm joined by Stephanie London and Michael Rolfe. And Michael Rolfe, I understand today is actually your birthday.
I'm afraid it is, yes.
What did you do?
Well, it's been very quiet. We went to church this morning.
Of course.
We were part of morning prayer, and then we've had some chores to do around the house to get ready so that the family can come and have a distance visit. So.
Oh, that's great. What a great idea. How about you, Stephanie? How are you?
Yeah, doing well.
Yeah, and for me and Stephanie, our eldest daughter had her piano exam today, and so that's, we've been preparing for that. So anyway, these little things we take joy in during our time. So our reading today, it comes from the Gospel of John. Again, if you'd like to pause the podcast, we're in John, the Gospel, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, if you want to look it up. It's actually different than any of our other podcasts. So far, we have been telling stories, and so I have been telling you the story, but there's not really a story here. This is part of an extended talk that Jesus is giving, and he's using this image of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Now, that has quite a bit of history in the Bible, and so Michael, would you be willing to tell us a little bit about where that image comes from? Jesus is the Good Shepherd?
Oh, shepherd, sure. The concept of the shepherd in relation to God is quite prominent in at least three places in Scripture. One is in the 23rd Psalm, which we're all so familiar with, and which is actually part of the liturgy for Sunday. But also it appears in the Old Testament in the book of the prophet Ezekiel, where the Lord is speaking against the rulers of the people of Israel at that time, because he's accusing them of being false shepherds, not looking after the sheep, but instead looking after themselves.
Right.
It's a very powerful passage, chapter 34 of Ezekiel. It's worth a read as well, even in preparation for this. And of course, now we have Jesus picking up the role that was given to David at one time. David, the great King David, was spoken of as the shepherd of Israel. And so Jesus is now in that role.
Mm-hmm. So if I remember right, it's sort of a messianic thing, because the idea was that these shepherds were abusive, but God was going to raise up the true shepherd.
Exactly, yeah.
How about you, Stephanie? What are your thoughts on this image of the Good Shepherd being used by Jesus?
Yeah, the piece I took from Ezekiel is the part that says that God talking, or Ezekiel talking to the false shepherds, saying, "You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fatlings, but you don't feed the sheep." So it's shepherds who aren't doing the work of taking care of those entrusted to them, and instead taking all those resources for themselves. And Jesus saying that he's a good shepherd. He's the one that wants life and health and all those things for his sheep. He doesn't do the things that bring them to death.
Later in that Ezekiel passage, God actually says, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep, so I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places to which they've been scattered.
Right, so Jesus is fulfilling that.
Jesus is fulfilling that prophecy from Ezekiel, yeah.
Yeah, I've always felt there was a real strong justice issue that God has this care for the weak and the vulnerable, and quite upset with the shepherds taking advantage of people, and this promise that indeed he would raise up the Good Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we often get our image of the Good Shepherd, like you said, Michael, from the 23rd Psalm. That is such a special psalm, this idea that God leads us by green pastures. But it also has that wonderful phrase, which I think is why we read it, because it gives it some depth. It's not just about good things happening to us, but yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There is a real appreciation of the vulnerability of life and the very difficult things of life. And how do you read that?
When I listen to that, I of course take heart at a time like right now, when we're really feeling challenged, and there's so much talk of death. Each day we open the newspaper to find out that a large number of people have died as a result of the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's certainly it's tempting to lose heart in that. And yet I hear that in the 23rd Psalm, and I'm once again made to feel better because God is still here. God is still active in our midst.
Yeah, I keep coming back to the idea that God isn't just the God of when good things happen, that God isn't just present when things are going well, and things going well isn't proof of our faithfulness, that God is present for the whole of human life and is active in the presence of danger, in the presence of death, and in the presence of joyfulness and thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Just looking at the passage, Jesus is contrasting who he is with thieves and bandits. Who do you think he's referring to? Is it like in Ezekiel, the religious leadership of his day? Do you think it refers to something else?
I actually had the same question.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's tempting to want to pin this on the scribes and the Pharisees, as we do in so many other places. But is it the Roman authorities that are still very much they are the dominant force in the society of that time?
That's right. That is a good reminder. So there's lots of these different figures, and Jesus is constituting this new community with sheep that he calls out by name and leads them, and I assume, into the kingdom of God. That this is what he's doing.
Yeah, I wonder what it means for somebody to climb in by another way.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, traditionally the sheepfold was sort of a stone wall. Not necessarily that high, because it had to contain only sheep. And apparently sometimes there was some sort of covering to stop them climbing out. But someone could come over the wall and then get through the roofing material and get to the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. If somebody's coming over the wall, it's likely not a shepherd to care for the sheep.
No.
It's a wolf who wants to eat the sheep.
Yeah.
So if you're coming in through the gate, you're there for the good of the sheep,
right?
Not to use and destroy them.
I wonder how they could steal the sheep, though, because we hear in the passage that there was a gatekeeper. Was he someone who would open the gate to allow the sheep to exit with this false shepherd? I'm not sure about that.
I actually wonder, I don't know if this is legitimate reading, but maybe it's at a different level. So this idea, one of my favorite verses comes from verse 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly, and have often wrestled with what that means. One of the things I wonder if the thieves and the bandits are not so much a group of people that we can point to, though I actually do think the reference is, like you said, Michael, with 34, it's probably has something to do with the leadership of the day. But I also wonder if there's kind of an inner reading as well. In a sense, our own sins, and Jesus is leading us to life. I often think people misunderstand sin, that it doesn't mean that they're a bad person so much as it means that they are doing things that lead to death. They're so bringing themselves in and cutting off relationship and doing things selfishly, and these are not the ways that lead to life. And Jesus wants to lead them to life. Jesus wants to heal them. Jesus wants to forgive them. And in finding life, the life of God, the living water, they can have it abundantly. Again, it's just what I was thinking of as I was meditating on this passage for today.
That's a good point, because I realize it's so tempting just to hear the story and to identify with the story without seeing the depths that it's there, the reason that it's there. But, I mean, the story itself was committed to paper a long time after Jesus. And so why did the author of this gospel decide that there should be, that this story should be a part of it?
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously something that has been part of the tradition to that point. It had to be included for a reason. And it's no doubt part of the instruction that was given to the people in the early church.
Right. Yeah, the reason I was thinking that, it actually comes from the next verse that's not in our lectionary reading. It says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And in Christian tradition, the laying down of Jesus' life has always been for the life of the world, that there's always been this healing characteristic in Jesus' death, that his death is not a pointless death, and it's not just a point, but that it actually brings life. And that's what we're craving.
This passage today took me to Jeremiah 23. This is verse 3. It says, "Then I myself, God, will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord." And what that says to me is that staying close to the shepherd and following the good shepherd leads to fruitfulness. It doesn't lead to fear and dismay, but staying close to God and staying close to Jesus, as he's calling himself the good shepherd,
right,
leads to a good life.
Right.
Not as a reward, but simply as a reminder that God is active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's why, I'm reading this at different levels, because another way, this external level, and if we're tying back in the Ezekiel reading, this question of justice, you know, these sheep are being pushed aside by the strong and the powerful, and they need to be given room to thrive. It's interesting because while we're not reading the Ezekiel reading, we are reading the Acts reading, I believe, where they talk about when they gathered together in the community, they had all things in common. This idea that no one was in need and no one was struggling from poverty, because of course they shared what they have. And this is a different kind of level of abundant life. You know, people who are struggling with need, knowing that the community would take care of them. That actually, I think, would be a huge blessing and another way of this sign of abundant life here and now.
I did some looking up on the word abundance as well, and came to 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it says that God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Mm-hmm. So the abundance that we receive out of God's abundance isn't just for our own consumption and our own use, but it's to be a blessing to others and to share in abundance and generosity as well.
And that ties in with that pivotal verse in Genesis that we hold on to, right? You are blessed so that you may be a blessing.
Yeah.
You know, that you can pass this on, the gift of God, to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if abundance is a mark of the quality of God, then it also becomes a mark of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And I think we're looking for that abundance of life, both in our outer world, the world we share in community with one another, the body of Christ, and the world outside, as well as an inner abundance of life that comes from being in communion and relationship with God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like anything, I think this passage has a warning that abundance can be used in a corrupt way, in a way that fulfills our own greed or turns us in on ourselves.
And so Jesus becomes the good shepherd as well by giving us the vision or the standard of what it means to live well and justly and fully. So it's a beautiful image and one we have hung on to for centuries and centuries. How do you think this passage might speak to us today?
Well, I think personally it's all about the hope. It's all about the support that we have, the reminder that we are God's people, that we're not out here all by ourselves, but we have God's Spirit to strengthen us and to help us to meet the challenges of the day. And by golly, that's what we need to hear these days.
Yeah, I think I hear in this two things. One is the sense of care that, like you said, Michael, I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid, because there is a good shepherd, a shepherd who is loving and caring and abundantly generous and all those things, caring for me, caring for all of us. And the second part is the call to be like that good shepherd to those around me.
Right. Too. And we have many opportunities in this day and time.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, what I leave with is I often point people to this passage because I find that a lot of people have an image of God, that God is against them, that they really feel that God is standing out there judging them. And then until they pass a certain muster, God is not on their side. And I think this just speaks to that profoundly. Jesus is there as the image of God, showing us that God is for us and so much for us that he would even lay down his life for the sheep. And so I don't think you can read this and ever see God is against you, but only to know that God is a God of love.
Definitely.
And that God is for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to follow from that, it strikes me that the sheep don't actually do anything here.
Right.
Like, all they do is stay close to the shepherd.
Well, they follow.
Yeah, they follow. They stay close. They listen for the voice. But nobody is standing at the door checking off if they're good sheep or not. Or
right, right. Whatever. So I hope when you in this podcast, you read and you meditate on this, you can take to heart this vision of Jesus, and that when you... this week in your own prayers, however you do that in your daily life, and to know that he is the good shepherd and that he loves you. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this. We always appreciate this, and we will see you again next week for the fifth week in Easter. Until then, God bless, and see you then.